I have no idea.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Haney, your pumpkin painting. Chili with sweet potatoes in lieu of beans is superior. I got smart dimmers installed in my apartment, and I'm excited to tell you about it, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your Sleepy Hollow visiting, iced chai drinking. My goodness, the veil is feeling thin, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Thanks for hanging out. This week, we're talking about
the spookiest of spooky stories, Kathleen. It's our annual spooky listener story episode because Halloween is in just a few days, and we are here to celebrate High Holy Season with you.
And I'll tell you what, I think this year we got some of the best stories ever submitted.
One of them is scary because it could actually happen to you.
Just like, I don't know, the Terminator. Yeah. That could really happen,
right? That could really happen to you. Speaking of the Terminator and robots turning against us, Kathleen, you got smart dimmers for your house.
Bethany, okay. So I had an electrician in because I needed to get some of my light fixtures updated and I wanted dimmers on everything because, you know, I'm not into those switch on, switch off. I want a little mood lighting.
Yeah, you don't want a binary. You want a spectrum.
You know what? Precisely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went on Amazon and I'll link them in the show notes, but I got these smart dimmers. They're gorgeous. And they're not the kind with like a little handle that you, you know, you scroll up and you scroll down to get the light that you want. You just glide your finger along the dimmer and they have an app and they link with my Alexa and I can tell Alexa to like dim to 30% or 20% or whatever I'm feeling at the time.
Okay. Well, you don't see, gentle listeners, I've just removed my glasses dramatically. I'm now rubbing my eyes.
You're very upset with
me. I'm doing some glasses acting. Do the dimmers work without the app?
Yeah, of course.
Great. Okay, that's great. So you now have given a control over the light in your home.
Yeah, because if I have, like, I don't know, schmutz on my hands, like, I don't know, raw ground turkey or because I'm making a chili, I can be like, turn the light up because I can't see my ground chili, you know?
What happens one day when Alex decides to turn against you? Now she has control over your lights.
No.
She has control over what else in your home? Your TV?
Yeah.
Does she control your locks yet?
No, not yet.
Not
but
yet.
The temperature in our house.
So she could, okay, so in theory, Kathleen, she could decide to turn off all your lights and turn up the temperature so high that she could cook you in your own home.
Boil me in the dark.
Boil you in the dark. Kathleen, this is dangerous. This is what happened in 2001 : A Space Odyssey. Hal was like, I'm sorry, what's your name? I can't do that. And he locked him in the, and then they killed them all.
We were just talking about how burglars know that if your lights are on a timer that you're probably away. So now when Neil and I are away, I can control my dimmers. Should a burglar decide to scale four floors to, you know, break through my window or something.
Okay, that is useful. That is useful. And I do like that they work despite even if you don't have the app. However, it makes me nervous when you put in charge of everything in your home.
Talk to me about your iced chais because I too am a chai fan.
Iced chais. I want one pump of pumpkin spice, but I don't want too much pumpkin spice. I want mostly chai and I do want a soy milk. And they are delicious. They taste like fall. They are sweet. They make my stomach livid. The second I start sipping on them, my stomach starts revolting, speaking in tongues, but I don't care. It's worth it for this time of year.
Okay. This is what you do. You're going to make it at home. Save yourself some bucks instead of going to that
Starbucks.
You're going to buy the chai tea, like the unsweetened tea bags, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You're going to double seep. Two tea bags in one cup because you want it extra strong, okay?
That's what I do.
Then you're going to buy Chobani oat milk, okay? Then you are going to buy from Trader Joe's or basically any company that sells, like, a chai latte mix. And then you get to choose your sweetness, but you still have that spice from the double bag tea. And that is the perfect chai latte.
So I'm buying premixed chai syrup or whatever it
is. No, it's not syrup. It's like powder.
It's powder.
Powder.
Oh.
Yeah. But so you still get that strong chai taste from the double bagging. Then a little oat milk. So that's like a little sweetness, a little vanilla. Mm-hmm. Then you can choose how much powder you add to that mixture. Therefore, you will get the perfect chai that you will ever taste in your life.
I love this. Thank you for helping me with that.
You're welcome.
I do appreciate it. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you your opinion on something?
Sure, go ahead.
Do you like my new sweatshirt? And it looks, and I'm going to describe it to you. It's a burnt orange sweatshirt.
Uh-huh.
And it has a logo on it as though I am a member of a sports team.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
I like it. Stand up. Let me see. Bethany, before we even started recording, I love it. The Y. So it says Sleepy Hollow, and then the Y comes down like a sports banner. What do you call them? A pentagon?
A pennant. Yeah.
And so it's got that little triangle shape at the end of the Y.
Yeah. And what you don't see is it says on that little Y, it says heads will roll.
That's really funny. I think the sweatshirt is adorable. We're both wearing hoodies today, which never happens.
I know. Usually I'm wearing some type of bustier.
Yeah, you are. So you went to Sleepy Hollow this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't realize how close it is. It's like 45 minutes outside of the city if you're not stuck behind a garbage truck, which we were, but it's fine.
It's right on the other side of the Mario Cuomo Bridge.
It is. It's we had never been. And he went when he was a kid, but I had never been. We decided to go last minute. We took a day trip up there, and it is delightful. There's a farmer's market. We didn't get to go to the cemetery. We're going to go back. The best coffee shop we've ever been to.
Yeah.
They have a Subway Eat Fresh. They have a vegan restaurant. They have river views. They have people walking around. They have a whimsical town sign. They have orange street signs. They have it. They have everything.
You posted this morning on your Instagram at Miss Bethany Watson this amazing photo of you covered in blood, and you talked about how your depression has been really bad lately.
Yeah.
And so to cheer you up, Dennis is like, let's go upstate to Sleepy Hollow. I'm going to cover you in some fake blood and take your picture. And like, what a thoughtful boyfriend.
I know. That's the importance of finding someone who suits you.
Yeah.
Because most people would be like, let's talk about your feelings. I'm like, I'm sick of talking about why I'm sad. I just am sad. I'm trying to work it out. It sucks. It's been going on for about 6 weeks now. And he was like, no, you know what? We're going to cover you in blood and we're going to do a photo shoot. And so we after Sleepy Hollow, we drove trying to find a forest. We ended up accidentally crossing a bridge and we ended up in Nyack, which is beautiful.
Welcome to my side of the bridge.
Thank you. And we went to a park in Nyack and tromped into it. And he took a mason jar full of fake blood, poured it all over my head, ripped my shirt a little bit. And we did a photo shoot. And it was so much fun. And from the photo shoot, we came up with this idea for an awesome film that I'm really excited about that I'm going to start working on this week.
Oh,
And just like, find your person that knows what would work for you. No one else would have offered to pour blood over my head and take pictures, you know?
Sometimes you just need that person to pull you out of your comfort zone to help shake the funk a little bit.
Yeah. And he also knew that when you have depression, you are more likely to pull in and try to retreat from people. Mm-hmm. And so he suggested the day trip, mostly because he knew it would kind of make me more present and get me out of the depression, at least for the day.
Yeah.
And it was really thoughtful, and it did. It worked like gangbusters. So
yeah.
And this is a reminder, if you have depression or seasonal affective disorder, now is the time to start taking more vitamin D, because D levels will help. And also get your full spectrum lights out, because the days are starting to get a little bit darker earlier. And now is when you're going to start noticing. So you have to be a little bit more on top of your mental health right now.
Yeah, the days are much shorter. I was talking to an Uber driver who was like, I swear by those full spectrum lights, you know?
They're great. They're so good. I love them a lot.
You keep it on when you're on Zoom calls with your coworkers. hairs, they're going to be like, wow, what did you do to your skin today? It looks amazing.
Your skin tone is so even. And you can be like, no, it's just my depression being treated. Ding.
So speaking of spooky things, there is this magazine that I get on Apple News because I subscribe to Apple News Plus. And it's called Stylist.
Okay, cool.
And there is an article this week that says, what I learned from my week as a witch. And it's this woman who decided to dive into learning witchcraft and becoming a witch for 1 week.
Okay.
And apparently, if you go on TikTok, there's a hashtag called Witch Talk that has like 19 billion views with all sorts of cool content on there. And now I'm like, my day is done. I'm going to spend all day on witch talk.
It's a very cool lifestyle to live.
There's this really interesting thing. So in the 60s and 70s, when there was a lot of social unrest, especially in America, things like Wiccan and books, occult books about the occult. Am I phrasing that right? Yeah. Occult books?
Yeah, books. Yeah. Or books about the occult. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They surged in popularity. They spiked. More people were writing about that. And it was sort of a response to like unease and unrest in this country. And so the art form of witchery is also on a rise right now because of all of the unease and unrest surrounding the pandemic. And I just thought that like that was a really interesting thing that this article talked about.
That makes so much sense. I know that I was really into it growing up.
Yeah.
And in high school. And then I sort of just whatever. I got away from it just because I got distracted. And I got back into it, I think, during our last presidency because I was feeling very tired of basically men telling me what to do, like not to get political or whatever. And the thing I really like about like witchcraft and looking into things like that is it's very personal. Mm-hmm. And you can have a community if you want a community, but you can also be very solitary in it. And it's between you and nature, you and who you believe in. If you believe in Jesus, Jesus can be a part of it. Like it's not very specific. It's very like open and loving and broad and very positive. I can see why people are getting into it.
That's exactly what this article says. And I highly recommend it. I'll link it in the show notes. It says, make it work for you.
Yeah.
And if you want to meet up with other witches in your area and you want to learn more about the craft of, you know, the art of witchcraft, something as simple as looking on the website that where you find meetups, you can find people that way. It's really interesting about, you know, just how liberating and empowering in times of unease that witchcraft can be.
That makes a lot of sense because you want a sense of control. And one of the biggest pieces of control you can have is control over your own spirituality and like the energy you're putting out into the world. Mm-hmm. And now is the time to do it because my friend, the veil is so very thin. It's a very powerful time of year. Mm-hmm. So I would also say go into it sincerely, with the things you do being done in earnest and with respect because you have a lot of power right now and the veil is so very thin.
I wonder how much a cauldron costs.
I have a tiny one, but the bigger ones are real expensive. Kathleen, what goes up must come down. So if you drink coffee and it makes you feel up and energized, you're inevitably going to crash, right?
Right.
No, not with Four Sigmatics Mushroom Coffee with Lion's Mane. It is so good and it helps you focus. You get stuff done. You feel productive, but you're not going to have that awful jittery feeling or a midday crash.
And gentle listener, if you're like, huh, what is Lion's Mane? That sounds powerful, but also why is it in my coffee? I'm here to tell you that it is a type of mushroom that's edible, that is powdered down and put into Four Sigmatics coffee. And that is why I call Four Sigmatic my get shit done coffee.
They also have chaga mushroom for immune support. But if you're like you, I don't like mushrooms. If I wanted to eat an earlobe, I would eat an earlobe. They don't actually taste like mushroom and it's made from coffee. Fair trade, organic, single origin Arabica coffee. They just add the mushroom powder in. So it doesn't taste like mushrooms. It tastes like coffee. It just gives you the benefit of the mushrooms with the coffee.
It tastes dark and nutty and earthy and incredible. And that is precisely how I describe my love life as well.
Plus, just like Kathleen's love life, they have over 20,000 five-star reviews. And best of all, Four Sigmatic backs their products with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you don't love every sip, you're going to get your money back. So we've worked out an exclusive offer with Four Sigmatic on their best-selling mushroom coffee, but this is just for an Acquired Taste listeners. Get up to 40% off plus free shipping on mushroom coffee bundles. To claim this deal, you must go to foursigmatic.com/AT. And this is only for an Acquired Taste listeners. It's not available on their regular website.
You'll save up to 40% and get free shipping. So go right now to foursigmatic, foursigmatic.com/AT to fuel your productivity and creativity with some delicious mushroom coffee.
'Tis the spookiest of seasons. I'm so scared. The veil is thinner, and the witches are hungry.
If you know a witch, stay away. She's going to eat ya.
No, if you know a witch, give her my phone number because I've always wanted to know a witch.
I bet you know a witch and you don't even realize you know a witch. A big sign of a witch is someone claiming they're not a witch. So that's how you know.
If we've learned anything from the Salem witch trials, let it be that.
Yeah, totally. They're probably not witches. Kathleen,
all right.
Happy spooky season. We're going to jump right in. So we're going to start off with a couple of stories that are classics, and then we're going to move on to the stories that you gentle listeners have sent us.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start out with a scary story called The Green Ribbon. Now, I always thought that this was from Alvin Schwartz's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, but it is not. I have all three of those and I could not find the story. It turns out it's from a series called In a Dark, Dark Room by Alvin Schwartz.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, because when I watched the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark movie, there was no girl with the green ribbon and I was really mad. And then I was like, oh,
yeah,
it's not the same thing.
Yeah. And again, if you do not have a costume for Halloween and you need one, put on a black dress with a white collar, tie a green ribbon around your neck. You are the girl with the green ribbon. It is the easiest thing in the world. Here we go. Once there was a girl named Jenny who always wore a green ribbon around her neck. One day, Alfred asked her why she wore it. I think Alfred is her boyfriend. I cannot tell you, said Jenny. Alfred and Jenny got married. Alfred said, now that we're married, you must tell me about the green ribbon. You still must wait, said Jenny. One day, Jenny got very sick. The doctor told her she was dying. It's not a very optimistic doctor.
No.
Alfred, she said, now I can tell you about the green ribbon. Untie it, and you'll see why I couldn't tell you before. Slowly and carefully, Alfred untied the ribbon. And Jenny's head fell off. Thunk. The end.
Is that really the whole story?
Yeah, I mean, I got it off of like a Goodreads type website because I do not own the book. I think they may have paraphrased a couple of spots, but the book, the series is like an easy reader series for young kids.
Yeah.
So it may actually be that short.
Imagine that. Imagine you're a young kindergartner and your best friend's wearing a green choker and then you wear this and then for the rest of your life, you're scarred.
Yeah. 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 You read the book and you're like, oh no.
Oh no.
My friend's head was going to, it's a good thing we never played kickball in gym class. It's a good thing we were lazy and we stood against the wall and watched everyone else. Her head would have fallen right off.
Right off. Mm-hmm. And then you would have mistaken it for a kickball.
Yeah.
And then you would have kicked your friend's head into oblivion.
Kathleen, all of the different things that would have happened had we played, and this is why you should never participate in gym. You just don't know which of your classmates' heads are not firmly attached to their bodies.
I recently learned that my niece does not like gym days because it means that she cannot wear her fashion outfits and she must wear sneakers.
You know what? Rightly so. I once told that my
gym. She's eight.
She's smart. I once told my gym teacher I could not do the jog before gym class started because I had just gotten a perm and the perm would fall out.
Stop.
Which it would. The stylist told me no heavy lifting and no crazy movements for the first few days of your perm. And the gym teacher was distracted and he was like, okay, whatever. And so I didn't do anything. And then when Jeff Dorf came running around, he was the fastest in our class. And the gym teacher looked at me and he knew I would never have beaten Jeff Dorf around the thing. And he was like, why aren't you running? And I said, because of my perm. You said it was okay. Yeah, he was like, no, run. What are you talking about? I was pissed.
And I bet your perm was ruined.
Ruined. Kathleen, I ran walked. I did that kind of hop run and was so mad because now I was super late and my perm looked a mess. Yeah.
That hop run is kind of even harder than it is to just like jog and shuffle your feet.
Yeah, I know. I probably did more damage to the perm than had I just like done a nice lope. Okay. Do you want another one of these? This is from the proper scary stories to tell in the dark.
Yes, please do tell.
Okay. I'm going to give you an option. Do you want the girl who stood on a grave or do you want room for one more?
Oh, let's do girl who stood on the grave.
This one disturbed me growing up in the best way because this one could actually happen. The girl who stood on a grave from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, Elvin Schwartz. Drawings by Stephen Gammell. Some boys and girls were at a party one night. There was a graveyard down the street, and they were talking about how scary it was. Don't ever stand on a grave after dark, one of the boys said. The person inside will grab you. He'll pull you under. That's not true, one of the girls said. It's just a superstition. All right, I'll give you $1 if you stand on a grave, said the boy. A grave doesn't scare me, said the girl. I'll do it right now. The boy handed her his knife. Stick this knife in one of the graves, he said. Then we'll know you were there.
Oh.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
The graveyard was filled with shadows and was as quiet as death. There's nothing to be scared of, the girl told herself. But she was scared anyway.
Yeah, she definitely was.
She was totally
scared.
I mean,
it's quiet as death.
Quiet as death. Scary. Quiet is the scariest sound of all because it is the absence of sound. She picked out a grave and stood on it. Then quickly, she bent over and plunged the knife into the soil and she started to leave. But she couldn't get away. Something was holding her back. She tried a second time to leave, but she couldn't move. She was filled with terror. Something has got me, she screamed, and she fell to the ground. When she didn't come back, the others went to look for her. They found her body sprawled across the grave. Without realizing it, she had plunged the knife through her skirt and had pinned it to the ground. It was only the knife that held her. She had died of fright.
This is a children's book?
Hell yeah, it's a children's book. It was always checked out when I was a kid in elementary school because it was always being, people loved it. It was always checked out. Just like I was always checked out, but mentally. Did you ever read these books growing up, Kathleen?
I did, yes. I'm pretty sure my mom still has our copies of them. They're excellent.
They're so good. They re-released Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark with different illustrations.
Oh.
And people lost their minds and were like, bring back Stephen Gammell's illustrations because they're so upsetting. They look like the illustrations are drawn with pencil and hair. Everything looks like it's underwater.
Those fine lines walk a very fine line between reality and spooky.
Okay, Kathleen, do you have a quick one from a taste bud before we get into the rest of the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. This one's called Grandma's Trick. And this taste bud, her name is Melody. She writes, hi, ladies. I'm writing to share with you a short but very spooky thing that happens to my family annually. A few years ago, my family got a fire pit for the backyard. At the time, my grandma was dying of cancer, and she was getting frailer and weaker each day. And because we weren't sure if she was going to make it to her birthday or not, we decided to throw her a backyard cookout a few weeks early. The whole family came over, and it was a really great day. We laughed, we drank, we played games. Grandma looked happier and livelier than she had in a very long time. When all of the extended family and cousins had gone home, my dad decided to light the fire pit, and we all sat around it making s'mores and listening to my grandma tell stories from her childhood. The end of the night was truly magical. 2 weeks later, my grandma died. That night was the last time that we were all together, and it has been a cherished and wonderful memory for all of us. 1 year after her death, on the anniversary of her early birthday, we decided to pour one out for Grams and have a drink by the fireplace while making s'mores. We lovingly left a chair open for her and draped it with her favorite blanket. About an hour after lighting the fire and sitting around laughing about something, out of nowhere we heard, "Robert, you were such a silly kid," in my grandma's voice coming from the direction of her chair. We all froze and look around at one another and immediately burst into laughter. Grandma was still with us. Every year we get together to drink and make s'mores around the fire pit, and every year Grandma visits us. It is lovely and spooky all at the same time, but we are comforted by her presence.
Wow. I love that.
Spooky, but really, yeah, but lovely. Wow.
Thank you, Melody.
Bethany, last week I talked about how to protect your home from burglary.
Yes.
And I feel like Taste Bud Tiffany, who wrote us about a strange noise. No, it was something weird coming from her basement, right? A few years ago.
Tiffany is blind and she was hearing noises from downstairs. She felt her dog and heard her dog playing with something or someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were concerned that maybe there was somebody like living in her apartment or house and taking advantage of the fact that she was visually impaired. Well, we heard back from Tiffany.
Yeah. Well, Tiffany, if you're listening to this, go back and re-listen to the burglary episode from last week a handful of times, because I feel like you need some of these tips.
I think that Tiffany, from Tiffany's update, she has it under control.
Okay, let's hear it.
So she sent us a check-in. Tastebud Rose checked in with me a few months ago to say that my creepy house story came up in one of the podcast meetups, chats, Facebook posts, something along those lines, as they were curious what has gone up since. So I figured I would write in. So here's the recap from Tiffany, if you missed that episode like 3 years ago. The first weekend I moved in, the complex-wide fire alarm was activated from my unit. I wasn't cooking, there were no electrical or other problems found. The fire department and police came, and after a lengthy discussion with them and the management company to confirm that this had nothing to do with their absurd and patronizing feelings about my being blind and unsafe on my own, especially since I wasn't even awake, they finally traced the alarm down to the basement. Nothing was ultimately found at all, so they finally assumed it could have been a spider or a fly triggering the alarm. I accepted it, they replaced the alarm, and all was well. Until weeks later, when I couldn't get the light in the unfinished portion of the basement to stop turning on. After my neighbor friend in the complex repetitively sent texts to tell me that the light was on again, I went down and unscrewed the bulb. After that, the motion detector from the security alarm in the finished part of the basement kept triggering when I wasn't home. This, of course, paged a series of visits from the police, so I finally ripped down the detector portion of the alarm. From there, things got stranger. At random times of the day and night, the police would arrive and ring my bell. Turns out it was like a wellness check because they kept getting calls from my landline, which had called 911.
Oh my God.
The thing is, while I had the line, I didn't actually have a phone plugged into it. So how the line was dialing anything, especially 911, I don't know. It's like when you're, yeah, it's like your internet company makes you also get phone.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You have to bundle it, but you don't actually have a phone plugged in.
But I actually got a phone and now it feels like kind of retro when I call my mom for my landline.
That's nice. I had a phone too, but all I was getting was like telemarketer calls.
Yeah.
And the alarm was so loud and I couldn't figure out how to turn it down and it was just scaring me in the night. All right, back to Tiffany. I called the non-emergency police phone number to confirm that the police at my door were telling the truth. Then I called the security alarm company. They confirmed that the alarm wasn't even on at the times I inquired about. I called the phone company and they couldn't find any issues, either remotely or when a worker was sent. Finally, after the police threatened to start charging me for false alerts, I got rid of the line. So that's the update. Now, since then. One of the hot water radiators on the first floor exploded and flooded the basement, not just once, but twice.
That doesn't happen.
That's insane.
It doesn't happen twice.
Twice.
When you put a new one in, it doesn't happen.
It shouldn't.
Oh.
Again, this paged both the police and fire departments, and the radios then would randomly turn on by themselves. And I mean standard radios. No clocks or alarms, no internet access, but straight up radios.
Oh,
now,
God.
Generally, I just turn them off and go back to sleep, whatever I'm doing. But as a blind person, the most annoying thing is that items are routinely moved. It happens all the time, and I'm not imagining it. Tiffany goes on, I'm not OCD, but since I can't just glance around the room to find things, giving them a happy home is a way that I function.
Yeah.
I eat, which makes total sense.
I learned that on This Is Us because one of the couples on that show, they have a child who's blind and this like coach is helping them. And it's like the coach is like, okay, when the baby is starting to walk, you have to find a place for your furniture and then you have to leave it there forever.
That makes so much sense. Just,
yeah.
I think, for anybody, because
yeah.
I can't tell you, like, Dennis just left this morning and he doesn't know where his watch is. The last place he saw it was the shower, ? And we still can't find it. I think having like a dedicated place for everything is just a good idea across the board.
A ghost probably took his watch. It probably was very nice. He's a very stylish man. And that ghost is like, I would like to be stylish too.
And that ghost is on time for everything now. All right. So Tiffany says, I even have standard areas for junk heaps. So let's say I'm getting off the couch. I will always place my items on the coffee table. So I only have to look on one surface. So if she's looking for something, it's probably on the coffee table.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, in April of last year, I lost my most favorite Bluetooth headphones.
Oh.
In May of this year, I finally found them in my bathing suit drawer, something which I had not opened since the prior summer of 2019.
Get out of here.
That's
out of here.
Nuts. So she lost the headphones in 2020. She found them in 2021 in a drawer she had not opened since 2019. She continues, when doing laundry, I count the socks picked up from the dirty pile. I then count them a second time before tossing them in the washer, then a third time going into the dryer, and a fourth time coming out. We should all do this.
Yeah.
It really helps, as when one inevitably goes MIA, I know at what stage it was lost, and then in theory, where to look. Well, after a rare load of laundry where I was successful at retrieving an even number of socks from all of the stages, I carried them up to the bedroom on the third floor. I threw them on the bed to be sorted and put away later. And when I did, one was gone. I looked for weeks, but eventually gave up. Now, Kathleen, if you're me, what are you thinking?
I am thinking that maybe she dropped it.
Yes, right?
On the way. Yeah.
Yes. Dropped along the way.
Yeah.
Tiffany goes on. Finally, I eventually found the clean sock shoved in my refrigerator.
No.
Way in the back behind everything.
That makes no sense.
That's terrifying.
That's
Tiffany
malarkey.
Says, this is not normal. And at the age of 41, I do not have dementia. Other than the annoyance, I am not otherwise bothered or frightened by the ghost or whatever is causing the problems. It's strange that I used to feel watched when I first moved in, but I mostly contributed that to newly having a first floor, and I have not felt it since first buying the place several years ago. My friends call the ghost spirit troublemaker Casper, but I jokingly still call him my friendly poltergeist. I figure as long as the animals and I don't feel in danger, we have room for him and we can cohabitate just fine. Some friends refuse to come over without an exorcist in holy water. And one jokes she has accidentally brought Casper home because she gets home from work to find random things turned on as well.
Oh.
She just sends a message to our group text about my needing to call Casper home again because ceiling fans turn on or other things fall over when she's sitting stationary on the couch. For the most part, though, she has the same feeling about Casper as I do. Hey, you can't see me, but I'm still here. Just wanted you to know. She ends, too bad he doesn't move something productive like dirty dishes. If he's going to move my laundry, the least he can do is wash it for me. And that is from Tiffany.
I'm feeling Casper FOMO. I want a Casper now.
I know. I kind of wanted to be like, Tiffany, send Casper over. But then I feel like I'm asking for nothing but trouble.
Yeah. It's like, Casper, I'm a little bit lonely today and I'm an introvert and I've turned down all my invitations. Would you like to come over and hang out?
I want to see someone, but I don't want to see anyone. Can I see you?
Okay. So I'm much more pleased. Is that correct English? Much
pleased.
Pleased.
You're pleased.
Pleased. And I'm happy that no stranger is living in Tiffany's house and that it's paranormal, because I think from her situation, that's probably the safer outcome.
It sounds like Casper is just having a good time with her.
Yeah.
Because if you are a poltergeist and you mean harm, you're going to steal the sock and then put it in the middle of a linoleum floor so that the person slips and breaks their neck. You're not going to put it in the fridge. Like, that seems like a funny poke, poke, jab, jab kind of thing.
Since Devon Sawa is so active on Twitter, maybe some of these, like, I don't know, low energy ghosts are really pulling from his digs in the Twitterverse, and they're getting, you know, they're like come to life again.
He's like the funny energy, the funny 90s kid energy he's putting out into the world is really like fueling up these whimsical ghosts.
That's what I'm believing from here on out.
I choose. Tiffany, will you please tell Casper we said hello? We love him. Do you feel like your life is falling apart? And if your life was a car, you would bring it to the garage and be like, do a full everything on it and fix it all. Then you need Talkspace, because we're all falling apart mentally and someone's got to step in and help.
Bethany and I have talked endlessly, tirelessly on this podcast about how much we love therapy, how it has saved both of our lives. And we're here to tell you about Talkspace, but also just to like normalize the idea of going to therapy.
Yeah, you don't have to have a diagnosed mental illness to seek out therapy. It's just a tune-up for your brain. It's to let someone else give you their perspective on your life, because you want someone who doesn't know you so they can be like, oh, this isn't your fault. Let's help. Yeah. It's not a big deal. It's just nice to get perspective. What is Talkspace? Talkspace is online therapy that connects you to a licensed professional with ease. You can do it from the comfort of your home, no waiting in an office. You can get appointments fast. You don't have to try to schedule something and it's not going to happen for 6 weeks. And if you do have mental illness and you need to talk about that, they also have people who will help you.
Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform. There are thousands of licensed therapists available to you to match across dozens of specialties, including anxiety, couples therapy, relationships, eating disorders, depression, and more.
And they offer medication prescription services too. Talkspace works around your schedule at your convenience with live video sessions and unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist. So if you need a little support to help you through the end of the year, or if you want to start building towards a better upcoming year, Talkspace is here to help.
Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off of your first month with the promo code TASTE. That's $100 off when you use our code TASTE at Talkspace.com.
Kathleen.
Yeah.
When's the last time you brushed your teeth?
Actually, I did it this morning before this podcast, because Neil and I were going to, you know, get close. And so I was like, I should brush my teeth before we get close.
The best times to brush your teeth: before you're going to the dentist, before you're about to have sex, in the morning, in the evening. Those four times. Other than that, it's like a bonus brush. The Brush Sonic Toothbrush has six unique speeds, six unique modes to customize your brushing experience. So you can have the gentle mode, which is what I use. You can have the regular one. You can have the gum mode. What you're looking for, Brush can take care of you. And it gives you the 2-minute timer, so you know when you're supposed to stop brushing your teeth and you don't bail early like I usually do. You're supposed to do it for 2 minutes, friend.
And getting your teeth clean is very important, because a clean mouth, like infections in your mouth, that can infect your whole body. And also, like Bethany said, six speeds. Like my vibrator and my Vitamix don't even have six speeds.
No, mine only has two. Which one? You'll have to guess. Plus, a sleek design. Their electric toothbrush has aesthetically modern, beautiful lines. It comes in matte colors like red, purple, pink, black, white, green, and they change the colors for different seasons. It looks so good on your bathroom counter. It's going to look great in your mouth. Again, what am I talking about? You don't know.
Brush. You're talking about Brush, Bethany. And I have to charge it like once every 2 or 3 years. I mean, once every 4 weeks. Really, it lasts forever. So get $15 off of your Brush toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TASTE at brush.com/taste.
When you go to the website, you'll see Kevin Hart. He is wonderful. That's $15 off using the promo code TASTE at brush.com/taste.
All right, you ready for some more
spooky stories, Bethany?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Okay, this comes from an anonymous taste bud, and it is titled The Apartment.
The Apartment. Spooky.
Dear Bethany and Kathleen, I had to write in after listening to a recent episode about the stone tape theory. I'm 100% sure this applies to me.
Now, the stone tape theory, really quickly, if you didn't hear that episode, is the idea, the hypothesis that there are like stones, rocks, buildings can absorb the energy of people who have passed away and act literally as recorders. So if you're hearing voices that don't sound intelligent, but that just seem like they're repeating themselves, that might literally be the stones having taped the voices and are replaying them under certain circumstances. It is questionable, but it is also fascinating. And I don't know, it seems to make sense in my head. I'm going to go with it.
She continues. Right at the beginning of the COVID lockdown, my boyfriend and I broke up. No love lost there. We both realized that we were just not each other's person, and being together all the time is what tipped us off.
The spookiest of realizations.
Anyway, I found myself looking for my own apartment in the COVID lockdown mess. I was both nervous and excited. This was going to be my first time living alone. I'm from Boston, and I'm lucky to have a lot of friends here, and one of them tipped me off to a cheap two-bedroom apartment down the street from them.
Oh.
That's like the dream, right?
The dream!
I immediately contacted the realtor on the listing and saw it the same day. It was gorgeous. Great light, freshly painted, and located on a beautiful historic block in a neighborhood known for its quaint old homes.
Oh, the dream.
There was one catch. It was $1,200 under market value. The whole thing seemed too good to be true. Now, what would you do, Bethany, if there was like a five-bedroom on the Upper East Side that was like 50% less than what it should be?
I would run a report on diedinhouse.com. And if nothing came up, I would Google the address.
Yep.
And if nothing came up, I would jump on that. What would you do?
I probably wouldn't do any of that. I would just jump on it.
Yeah. I know. It's hard to find a place, you know?
Yeah. So she continues, when I asked the realtor why it was priced so low, she sort of skirted the question and ultimately saying that the landlord was a reasonable guy who just wanted someone trustworthy to take care of the unit.
Bullshit.
Sold. I wrote a down payment check on the spot and moved in the following week. This apartment was like a dream come true. Never in a million years could I have afforded a two-bedroom at full price. I chalked it up to no one moving during COVID and the apartment prices going down. While my friends were miserable working from home in small spaces, I had a full bedroom for my bed and then a full office. Life was good.
Like being in the show Friends or Sex in the City, having this giant apartment in the middle of this city. That's unrealistic.
I laugh about Friends because most of the time in the beginning, like no one was employed and they were living.
They're living in like a 2,000 square foot apartment in the West Village.
Okay. So she said life was good. That is until one night. I heard something very strange. About a month after moving in, I was up late one night working on a project. It was 1 a.m. I usually go to bed about 10 p.m. I was in my office, but I felt a breeze coming from the living room, which was weird because I never leave my windows open at night. I walked out of my office, and from the corner of my eye, it looked like my curtain was fluttering.
Nope.
So I went over to the window to confirm that it was shut, and indeed it was. Then I heard something that will give me chills for the rest of my life. In a small, terrified voice, I heard a woman saying, "He's coming. What do I do?"
Oh my God.
I spun around thinking someone was behind me. Nothing. Then I heard the voice again. "He's coming. What do I do?"
Oh, God.
I was losing my mind. I heard this voice saying the same phrase over and over again at least a dozen more times. I tried to record the audio on my phone, but the voice app wasn't picking it up. That night, I went to bed thinking I would never be able to fall asleep. Somehow, I dozed off, and woke up the next morning to the sun shining through my window and the birds chirping in the tree outside of my building. I tried to brush it off, thinking maybe I was dreaming. Maybe I had been so tired from working late that I had imagined the whole thing. I told my sister about it, and she was convinced that it was just a weird hallucination from sleep deprivation. 3 nights later, I was washing up for bed, and bam! It sounded like a window being slammed shut.
No, thank you, good apartment!
And the voice came again. He's coming. What should I do? I tried to record the voice again, but on video this time. But like before, my phone wouldn't pick it up. For a whole hour, I listened to that scared, inconsolable voice repeat the same words over and over again. I called my friend who lived down the street. She could not hear the voice over the phone, but she told me to come spend the night at her place, and I did. The next morning, everything in my apartment was fine. Then a few nights later, the same slammed window, the same small voice, and finally, it occurred to me to Google my address.
There you go, girl.
Which I stupidly hadn't done when I first signed the lease.
It's okay. It's okay. You know what? Paralysis, yeah. Mental paralysis brought on by good real estate, it happens to the best of us.
What I found out about my apartment was shocking. 2 months before I moved in, a woman was viciously murdered in my apartment by a man who was stalking her. It was her ex-boyfriend who had harassed and stalked her for years before finally breaking in and stabbing her 12 times in the chest.
Oh my God.
After careful inspection of my hardwood floors, I'm pretty sure that I can still see where dried blood wasn't cleaned up between the floorboards. There are traces of this woman still in my apartment. After 2 months of being terrified by these nighttime whispers, I decided to take matters into my own hands. I hired a medium to come over and talk to this woman and also to sage my apartment. The medium didn't have much luck connecting, but just the fact that she was able to communicate to the spirit that I was friendly and that I was there to help her made me feel much better. My family has begged me to move out, but there is no way in hell that I'm giving up this charming apartment because of some unsettled spirit.
Absolutely not. It is a great apartment, and you must cling on to that great apartment the way this woman is clinging on to staying in this apartment after death.
Yeah. You're both clinging on to staying in this great apartment.
She has great sense.
I have decorative ceiling molding that's still original from the mid-1800s. Ain't no ghost gonna take that from me.
Hell no.
I have since started talking to the woman, casually telling her that he is locked up and that she's safe now. She comes less frequently, and I hope that my reassurances are putting her at ease, but every now and then I am awoken by a whisper in my ear, "He's coming. What should I do?"
First of all, respect. Yeah. I would absolutely live in a haunted apartment if I was getting that kind of square footage and light for a low price.
Yeah, and that kind of molding.
Yeah.
Original molding. Get out of here. I'm staying forever.
Yeah. You once, Kathleen, you had to replace a medallion over your chandelier, and it was not original, and that was still expensive.
And it fell down, broke my glass coffee table, but I stayed.
Also, I would maybe see if you can... I don't know. I mean, it might be an unintelligent haunting, and so there might be nothing you can do. She might not know she's there. She may have already moved on, and this is just, you know.
Stone tapes.
Stone tapes. So you may just have to deal with it. Wow.
It's kind of a good lesson to all of us. All the scary things in our lives, if we just find the courage deep within and get out our bravest boots, we can face it.
Absolutely. Even if there's been a murder... You can do it. You can handle it.
All right, Bethany, you want to take the next one?
Yes. Okay. Should I do the crackle?
Do the crackle.
Okay. This is from Megan. Hey, Bethany. Hey, Kathleen. Kathleen, does it hurt your feelings Megan put my name before your name?
No, because B becomes before K in the alphabet. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I almost didn't write in to tell you my story, but I know it's my duty to share what happened to me. I hope this helps something out there listening. I wonder if she meant someone or literally
someone.
She meant something.
Yeah. Yeah, someone.
I don't know. Maybe it's something. She goes, I share an apartment with my best friend. We've lived here for 5 years. Recently, our dishwasher flooded out and we had to move into temporary housing while all the floors in our unit were removed. The floor seemed fine to me, but the building's insurance company insisted they be replaced. It only took 2 weeks before we were back in our place, unpacking everything that had been put in storage while the repairs were happening. We hired a moving company off Craigslist, and it was an easy transition. A few days after moving back in, I heard a faint crackling noise, but I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. You know that thing you do when you try to figure out where a noise is coming from, and you tilt your head in every direction and squint your eyes as if it makes your hearing more acute?
Yep.
Yep, I sure do. Yeah. My dad would always say, quiet down, I'm trying to see.
Yeah, it is. You turn your head and then you squint your eyes like it makes your hearing better. Yep. It doesn't work at all.
Yeah, I know, but we do it. Yeah. That was me every day for weeks. The crackling was always inside my head. I legitimately would have thought I was crazy if my friend didn't hear the same thing. We looked like deranged zombies slowly walking all over our place trying to find the source of this noise. We opened every drawer, every cabinet, took the batteries out of every single electronic gadget. We even turned off the breakers to shut down electricity to the whole apartment a few times. We had an electrician come over and he couldn't figure it out either. Nevertheless, the crackling persisted.
Taste of Megan. I see what you did there.
I see you, Megan. Our apartment was possessed. We were convinced. Now, because I'm a huge fan of your podcast, I knew the only reasonable next step was a seance on the solstice. Absolutely, Megan.
You go, girl.
You go. I ordered a book on how to do a seance, a solitary seance, How You Can Talk with Spirits on Your Own by Raymond Buckland. We'll link that book in the show notes. I invited my friends over to help us conduct the seance. We drank copious amounts of red wine and dove in. We went through at least 10 of the ceremonies you can perform to connect with spirits around you. We lit candles. We saged. We chanted. We prayed. We even broke out the Ouija board. Nothing weird happened, but oddly, the crackling stopped. 2 weeks later, around 8 p.m., we heard a loud knock at the door. And don't worry, I didn't just open the door to strangers. I looked the peephole first. It was two police officers. They were there to ask about the moving company we had used on Craigslist. Turns out, one of the men who moved us in that day had been arrested for illegally installing cameras in homes where he had helped move their stuff.
No.
He had placed cameras in their smoke detectors. Kill me. I would just die.
Oh.
Sure enough, in our living room, the police officers detached our smoke detector, and there was a hidden camera. The guy had swapped out our old detector for his new one with a built-in camera, and we never noticed.
Oh, my God.
All the other smoke detectors in our apartment were hardwired, so we didn't think to check this one for batteries. The crackling was the camera while he was watching us.
No, no.
I'm dead. She said, I know this is not your typical ghost story, but still terrifying nonetheless. At one point, we thought it was ghosts, so I decided to submit it for your spooky stories episode. Happy Halloween, everyone. That's from Taste Bud Megan. Megan, that is spookier than anything because it's real.
Because it's real. Because it happened in real life. That's why Paranormal Activity is my worst nightmare.
Oh, Kathleen, that movie is so damn good.
Also, the one where they shoot everybody in one night. Was it called The Flush Out?
What? The Flush Out?
No, come on. You know the one where it's purge? Legal to kill.
The purge? The Flush Out?
You gotta flush out the weak ones.
The Purge. That's horrifying. And I'm kind of obsessed with the fact that this guy was probably watching you guys do a seance. And so I'm glad you did not do it nude.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Lord knows. Kathleen, do you remember the table that my kitchen table where we used to record our podcast?
Yeah.
I have done things on this table nude.
Shut up.
In terms of like ceremonies.
Oh. I thought you were going to say sex stuff.
No.
And I was going to follow up with, I understand, Bethany. I have a sex injury from this morning.
Wait, what's your injury?
Oh, my groin is killing me right now. I got to sit on an ottoman while we record this podcast instead of a chair.
That's the appropriate place.
Oh, well, I hope that guy goes to prison forever.
Yeah, that's really upsetting. I'm so glad that was taken care of. Always check your smoke detectors. And also, if you have people over to help install things or check things or look around your apartment, after they leave, always make sure to check your windows. Sometimes they will unlock your windows and then leave so they know they can get in later. So always make sure that you relock all of your windows after they leave.
And you have to watch what they do.
Yeah.
You can't just like go about your business and do whatever willy-nilly. I learned that the hard way when my bed was delivered last week and they left the door open and I thought my cat got into the hallway and I was like the ghost of Ebenezer Scrooge, like ringing the cat treat bell, you know, in the hallway looking for my cat.
Yeah. No one who comes into your home cares as much about you getting your security deposit back as you do.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on them. Even when I had not Roscoe, the bedbug sniffing dog knockoff walking around my apartment, I watched that dog like a hawk. I was like, that dog better not unlock my windows.
Yeah, that dog better not plant cameras in your apartment. You just never know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't trust that dog. That dog's not Roscoe. Where's Roscoe? Not my apartment.
Okay.
Let's
do the next one.
Is this the last one?
This is the last one we have.
Oh.
And this is from Taste Bud Lauren, and it is titled Not My Father. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Taste Bud Lauren here.
Hi, Lauren.
I love you guys so much. And also, I'm very much in love with all things Halloween.
Ooh.
Us too.
We love you too, Lauren.
So I hope these two very odd, spooky stories from my childhood interest you both. From age 7 to 14, my family and I lived in an older house up on the hill. It was a typical suburban neighborhood. It had beautiful trees. It was a quiet street. And on the outside, it seemed like a totally normal family home. When we first moved in, I always felt unwell and unsafe in this house, especially if I was alone. But I was just a little kid and, you know, I probably didn't think too deeply about these unsettled feelings in my home. But I always felt like I was being watched by something. A little backstory. When I was 4, I suddenly lost my father. So when we moved, I thought maybe that this was him comforting me, like my dad's spirit was still with me in this very creepy house. but it became very apparent that this, whatever it was not my dad.
Oh, God.
One night when I was in 5th grade, I was home alone in the living room watching TV with my pug, My Nemo. You know, like from the children's song, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe.
Yeah, he's little.
That's really cute. The lights were off, so the TV was illuminating the room. The couch faced the front of the hallway that led to the front door. But the hallway was completely dark, so I wasn't able to see down the hallway because of that. Next to the front door, we kept an umbrella stand. It was more like a tall vase with umbrellas in it. And while I was watching television, my dog, My Nemo, she was a pug, so she had a very curly tail. She hopped off the couch and stood in front of the hallway. She must have seen or heard something that scared her because her very curly tail suddenly became straight and it unwound between her legs. In all of my life knowing this dog, I have never seen her tail uncurl like that.
I didn't know they could uncurl.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, the paranormal can do anything, but still.
Truly it can.
Then suddenly I felt a terrible cold sensation run down my whole body. You know, like the kind of chills that happen when something very unexpected occurs and your heart just falls into the pit of your stomach?
Mm-hmm.
I was glued to my spot on the couch at this point and I couldn't move because of my fright. My Nemo then moves into the dark hallway and I couldn't see her. And since the hallway was so dark, I never really saw what happened. But all of a sudden, there was a huge bang.
My Nemo!
And My Nemo came hurtling back out of the hallway, squealing like a little injured piglet into my lap. And before I even had a chance to react, I heard the garage door open and I heard my mom coming into the house through our laundry room. I told my mom everything that had just happened, and of course her first response was to check the hallway. Perhaps someone had tried to break in. We turned on the light in the front hallway, but there was nothing there except for one very large umbrella lying in the middle of the hallway, at least 2 feet away from the tall umbrella stand. Now, the umbrella stand wasn't moved even an inch, so there was no way that this umbrella simply lost its balance and toppled out. If it had toppled out, the whole stand with several other umbrellas would have come down with the crash as well. But no, it was just this one umbrella seemingly flung by itself towards my sweet little pug as she entered the hallway.
Oh.
And I don't remember exactly what my mom's reaction was to all of this. She was one of the bravest and strongest people I knew, so this may not have even scared her. But this was so terrifying to me that it is still vivid in my mind and I get chills even remembering it.
Yeah, I can picture that umbrella stand when it's like taller.
Yeah.
And so if an umbrella is to fall out of it, it would have to be lifted.
Yes.
You know, it's not like it's just going to fall over and the whole thing is going to go. It's like it's too tall to have an umbrella fall out of it.
Yeah, that's not how physics works.
Yeah, that's not how physics works. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God. And, you know, when it has to do with your pet, too, you're scared for this animal that you love so much as well, you know?
I hate it when animals in either real life or stories run after something and are brave. I'm like, hell no. Stop being brave, come back, and we're all going to cower together in this room.
Yeah, Lassie, let's extend your life a little bit longer. Yeah. Let's not save that boy from the waters that are too strong for him to swim in.
Exactly. If Timmy's going to wash away, Timmy's going to wash away, and that's on him, because he's had like 3 or 4 seasons of knowing that that river is dangerous. Timmy's learned his lesson.
And I think Timmy has more muscle definition than Lassie. Let's be real about this.
I know. Timmy's getting a little lazy with people saving his life, you know?
Yeah, Timmy's phalanges are a lot longer than Lassie's, okay? Yeah.
Especially now he's like a grown man.
Okay. Bethany, do you want to finish the second part of the story?
Yes. Okay, so she continues, the second story I have to tell. There are many more if you ever need a good scare, but this one was probably the worst thing that ever happened to me in that house, because this time it was physical. One Saturday morning, I was lying in bed. I wasn't really asleep, but I wasn't really awake either. Just that kind of haze between consciousness and dream. While lying with my eyes closed, lying on my back, I thought I felt pressure at the foot of my bed. I was a young teenager at this point, and enough stuff had happened in the house for me to know that whatever was in this house was not my father's spirit. I remember feeling unsettled, but was still in that hazy period of almost being awake that I didn't have my wits about me enough to open my eyes and see what was happening. But what happened to me next, I know I was fully awake to experience. With my eyes still shut, I felt something hit me in my face. Because my eyes were closed, it seemed like a flash of light was happening inside my eyeballs the moment I was hit. I shot up in bed more scared than I think I've ever been or have been since. I immediately put my hand to my face. The pain was mostly coming from my mouth, so I ran my tongue around my top teeth and I tasted blood. I ran to my mom's room and showed her my mouth and explained to her what had happened in my room. Sure enough, there was a small split on the inside of my upper lip as if something had hit me right in the mouth.
Oh my God.
I'm not sure what it was that threw the umbrella at my dog or hit me while I slept or caused the other unsettling things to happen in the house. My mom, brother, and I moved out of the house when I was 14, and nothing even remotely paranormal has ever happened to me since. Thank goodness. But the things that happened in that house will forever be ingrained in my mind. I don't necessarily believe in ghosts. Okay, well, all right. Well,
yeah, I mean, clearly they exist. You got slapped in the face by a ghost.
That's like crashing your car into a tree and then being like, but I don't believe in tree car crashes.
I'm not sure inertia is a thing.
But she says, I most certainly believe that there are good and bad spiritual beings that exist in our world that we can't see. And I think this house may have held one of those spiritual beings. I know I was a child and a younger teenager when all of these things happened, so perhaps my story should be taken with a grain of salt, but I know what I saw and I know what I felt in that house, and it was something I never want to experience again. That's from Lauren.
Wow.
That can you, the nope. fear of being yeah. hit in the face
by nothing,
by a malevolent something or other that's coming out of the dark like an evil Gloria Estefan and punching you in the face.
The part that really gets me about that story is that she felt the weight of whatever that was at her feet.
That's right. Yeah, like something sat on her bed or crawled from the edge of her bed to her face and just sucker punched her.
Like before we got cats, I can remember waking up feeling like someone had put a hand on me. Have you ever woken up out of a dead sleep feeling a hand on you?
Never.
Oh, I have.
What? And it wasn't yeah. Neil getting frisky?
No, it wasn't.
Where was the hand?
Like on my leg or something.
And then what? It just goes
and
away?
And then you wake up and you're like, what the fuck was that? And your partner is dead asleep next to you, completely still, and your heart is racing. And then you're trying to go back to sleep. And then you have to do this thing. I used to have to tuck the blankets underneath my feet because if I didn't, that left room for things like spirits to get in. And I was convinced that if I was tucked and not just like letting the blankets hang out willy-nilly, that I was safer for some reason.
Kathleen, you got touched on the leg, that you have every right to believe that something is getting in. That's not insane.
This never happened to you?
No, never, ever, ever.
It's happened to me more than once.
I will say, though, the idea of your partner sleeping through it, I feel awful because I'm a sound sleeper. Like I've said before, I slept through a tornado that went over my apartment building.
Oh my God.
I slept through this weekend, Dennis getting up in the middle of the night, leaving the apartment.
What?
Going to Rite Aid to get a sleep aid, coming home, unlocking the apartment, locking it back up again, getting back into bed.
What?
And going to bed. I slept through all of it. I didn't have a clue.
No.
He was like, a person could get into this apartment, Bethany, and you would be killed without ever waking up. And I'm like, yes, absolutely, okay. I would.
But let me play the opposite side of that. I feel safer when Neil is sleeping in the apartment with me because I'm not alone. And therefore, I allow myself to go into a deeper kind of sleep.
Ooh, that's a great point.
So I sleep much lighter when he's not here, and I'm like,
yeah,
it's like more of an alert sleep because I'm alone. So that might have contributed to it as well.
That's a really good point. You know what? I'm going to go with that. And I did tell him, look, because he wakes up at anything. If I breathe weird, he wakes up and he's ready to fight. And if he were to wake me up in the night, then I would wake up and be like, let's defend our home.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to just wake up because of him leaving the house. But I did feel guilty.
But what if you woke up in the middle of the night, he's next to you, dead asleep, and something has just slapped you in the face, and now your lip is bleeding?
Oh, now I'm grabbing the bear spray that I have next to my bed, and I'm just spraying it in like a steady stream back and forth to see the outline of whatever hit me, and then I'm going to punch it back. If a ghost punches you, always punch back.
Good thing you live in America, because in Canada, that kind of spray is illegal.
Well, guess what? Canada, they're getting slapped willy-nilly by ghosts.
Leaning into color is the thing that we all need to do more of in 2022. And that is why Bethany and I were obsessed with Joybird, and also we're partners with Joybird, which is, you know, convenient because we're going to use our own code to buy Joybird furniture for our homes.
Joybird is the furniture for you if you are looking to step up your game, maybe get a little bit more adult furniture that's going to last longer. When I was moving apartments once, I had a bed by a company that rhymes with Schmikea, and the mover said they only will insure anything from this company for 2 moves. After that, it will fall apart. Joybird is furniture that will follow you throughout your life because it's quality and it's exactly the way you want it to be.
It is the best time now to bring as much joy into your living space as possible. And you can do that by customizing basically anything that you want from Joybird.
So let's say you need a new couch, but you have kids and pets. And so you want a couch that's not going to get torn apart by sticky children or clawy pets. You can choose a couch you like. You choose the material you want. They have kids and pets safe material. You design exactly what you're looking for.
And when you have that holiday party and you're drinking a big glass of red wine on your beautiful new cream colored couch, you can get fabric that is stain resistant. And then that friend who's uncoordinated plops down next to you and the red wine goes everywhere. Don't worry about it because you can clean it up. High quality fabric that is stain resistant. That's what Joybird is going to do for you.
They use responsibly sourced materials that are free of harmful chemicals. And through partnerships with groups like One Tree Planted, Joybird is helping conserve and restore Earth's most precious natural resources.
And with financing rates as low as 0% APR for up to 36 months, you can relax now, get some beautiful new things for your home, and then pay later.
Plus, Joybird stands by its quality and craftsmanship. If it's not everything you hoped for, send it back.
So create a space that brings you joy with Joybird. All you have to do is visit joybird.com/taste to get 30% off of your purchase.
That's 30% off at joybird.com/taste.
Bethany, did you get the text that I just sent you?
The one about wet yoga?
So Taste Bud Kimberly posted this in the Facebook group. She goes, I've never heard of wet yoga, but it sounds kind of fun. And then she posted the ad to this wet yoga. It says, you cannot eat onions 48 hours before class. Ew.
And then, so first of all, it says hold space for wet yoga class, which is a play on like, I'll hold the space energetically. I'll hold the space spiritually. We'll hold the space in your calendar for wet yoga. You will be completely soaked in herbal liquid. Attendees must learn to fold, unfold their genitals. Do not attend if you can't hold your breath for 33 lunar seconds.
What's a lunar second?
Hell if I know. Buckets, rags available for $6. Free tree bark snack provided. This cannot be real. In parentheses, there will be loud screaming. And then at the bottom, the waiver that she's talking about. Please bring signed waiver agreeing to allow the great horned owl to observe you silently for the duration of the wet yoga practice. There's no way this is real.
And then it has a picture of a spiritual looking older woman with long gray hair with her hands in the namaste position. It's like, oh my God.
I mean,
do people eat tree bark? Yes. According to Google, aside from producing delicious snacks such as apples, cherries, walnuts, and chestnuts, some people eat other parts of the tree like bark, leaves, twigs and seeds, pollen, roots, new growth, flowers, and sap for syrup. Well, yes, pancakes are delicious with that syrup.
I cannot find it on Snopes. It is on Reddit.
I think this is real.
It's under r-funny. This is from 3 years ago. I honestly can't tell if this is real or not, and that disturbs me.
What is wet yoga? Like, I know what hot yoga is, and you get wet at hot yoga, but do you get hot at wet yoga? That is the question.
Okay, it's not real. Oh. So someone from Droop Years, that's their Reddit name. Check out the Hold Space for My Tribe Facebook group. That's where this is from. It's a satirical group making fun of the hippie community. That's amazing.
Yeah. But you have to fold your genitals. I mean, yeah, because sometimes when you're sweating a lot, your genitals, I mean, like, I'm not offended by anybody's genitals. In fact, I'm one of those creepers that's like, hey, what do you have that I don't?
Can we please have a t-shirt that says I'm not offended by anyone's genitals?
Actually, that would be a great t-shirt for the Christmas season.
You also, Kathleen, texted me a picture of your new lampshade. Can you describe this lampshade for the listeners at home?
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that most people will not like the new lampshade in my office because it is a velvet drum. It's a burnt orange, kind of like the same color as your cool Sleepy Hollow sweatshirt, Bethany.
My sports team sweatshirt.
The sports team sweatshirt. And then from the velvet drum is also burnt orange fringe, like polyester fringe, like the bottom of a flapper's costume hanging. And I know that it is an acquired taste.
Hey.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful.
You know, what is in your house that you think is amazing that other people are like, oh my God?
I mean, as of this weekend, it is not in my apartment anymore. It's in Dennis's, but there is a 40-inch tall portrait framed of Dennis and myself that I ordered off of Framebridge because they're a new partner of ours and they gave us a code and I definitely abused the code. But I think it's majestic, and everyone should have a giant portrait of themselves in their own house.
That is the most Bethany thing ever, hanging a giant photo of yourself in your own home.
I mean, look, anytime you watch a spooky movie that takes place in an old manor or an old chateau or an old castle where there's like a family with money,
yeah,
they always have a very severe portrait of one of their elders that's hanging over a fireplace or a stairwell.
Yeah.
And it's at least a story tall. And that used to be a thing people did.
Yeah. And also, if you want to spy on people, you can cut out the eyeballs and then put cameras in the eyes that look like eyeballs. And then you get to, like, you know, see what people are saying when you're not around.
That's exactly what you can do. And also, if it's good enough for the presidents, it's good enough for us. The presidents still get their portrait painted. So why is it such a problem? Let's normalize having giant portraits of yourself in your home.
I think it was our second anniversary. That's the paper anniversary. I sent a wedding photo to an artist on Etsy and commissioned her to do a watercolor drawing of Neil and myself. And we hanged that in our home.
Exactly. How did it turn out? Was it nice?
The first time it turned out Neil's head was way too square. So I asked for a redo. So in the first one, I'm married to somebody I don't recognize. But the second one came out pretty good.
Having yourself drawn is a very frightening experience. I have never been drawn by anyone where they didn't make my nose go directly over my upper lip.
Aww.
Like, my nose is always very much exaggerated by the artist. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I know it's big, but I don't think it's not touching my teeth.
My face is always like a funnel, very small at the bottom because with my pointy chin, and then it just gets bigger because my head gets a little wider as it goes up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like it's not meant to be a caricature, but sometimes it ends up being a caricature because that's what they're noticing. It just, you know what, this is a first world problem. Having your portrait painted makes you very insecure.
We're lucky we have faces at all, honestly. So I have, Bethany, I have a dilemma.
Okay.
A pizza dilemma.
Tell me. I love a pizza dilemma.
Okay. Like I've said multiple times on this podcast and on the bonus episode, I had guests staying with me for the week.
Yes.
And we walked by this pizza place that smelled amazing. So we were all like, yeah, let's order dinner from here tonight. So we went home because we were caught in the rain. We dried off and I pulled up this pizza place online because I was like, oh, I'll just order online. Mm-hmm. You can't order online. So then I was like, all right, let me just look at the menu and I guess I'll have to call them. So they didn't have an official website. So, you know, when you look up menus, sometimes like other random sketchy websites will have menus for random restaurants for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the menu and I'm like, okay, they only make like really two kinds of pies. So and they were square pies, like grandma pies.
Love.
Yeah. So we ordered one regular grandma pie with pepperoni. Okay.
Yep.
Then we ordered another grandma pie with something that I saw on the menu called buffalo mozzarella.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I didn't know what it was. Looked it up. It's mozzarella made from a buffalo instead of cow's milk, buffalo milk. So I was like, okay, this would be cool. Try something new. It smelled delicious when we were walking by. So my friends that were staying with me, they're like, Kathleen, we'll pay for the pizza because you're so kind to open your home to us.
Oh, that was nice.
I was like, yeah, that's nice. Thank you. That's fair. So we get to the place. We walk in. It's only hot guys. Only hot guys walking around. Like, but kind of like, you know, New Jersey hot. Like,
yeah.
It's like dark hair, olive complexion. Mm-hmm. Like, and they were talking to each other like, you know what TikTok is, man? How can you not know what TikTok is? And I was like, really? How do you not know what TikTok is?
I mean, yeah. I mean, how do you not?
So I'm like, I'm here to pick up an order. They're like, what's your name? I'm like, Kathleen. They're like, two pies, right? I'm like, yeah, two pies. So in that moment, I'm like looking at my friend and she's like reaching for her card. And I'm, you know, also reaching for my card because I'm going to do that thing where I'm like, no, I got it.
No. It's fine.
And they're like, no, I got it. And
I'm like, I couldn't possibly. You know?
He's like, okay, your total is $91.
For two pizzas?
For two pizzas, Bethany.
Why?
And in that moment, First of all, I'm mortified because I have ordered two pies that cost $91 when somebody else said they would pay.
How did that happen?
I don't know. And I was just so frazzled, surrounded by good-smelling pizza and my friend from out of town and all these hot guys. I pulled out my card. I just handed it to him. I didn't know what to do. I should have, in the moment, been like, oh, my God, what is in your pizza that costs $91? This must be a mistake. I think I said something like, oh, the menu online has different prices, but then I just proceeded to hand over my credit card, sign the bill, and then I left a freaking tip on top of that shit.
What the hell? What's the name of this pizza place? We'll bleep it out.
I'm going to leave a review saying my dilemma, because I think I want to go back and like recreate my order and see how much it costs.
We're going to do that right now. What's the name of it?
It's I walked out of there knowing that I handled the situation so poorly because I should have demanded why two pies cost $91. And I just, should I go back? Like, yes. What should I do?
You should call them.
Yeah.
And say, hey, last night I ordered two pizzas. You charged me blah, blah, blah. I was so shocked I paid it. I need to go back and I need you to explain to me. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah. But it was last week. I've waited a whole week now.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There are indeed two different menus online.
Yeah.
So one of them says that a square pie is $34, which is insane.
Well, I expected it to be like 60 because these are like special pies and there is quite a lot of, the pies are a little bigger than a normal pie.
There's a picture of their menu online that says that a large pie is $16. So literally half. So first of all, there's already discrepancy.
Yeah.
But again, ordering two of those is not going to take you to $90. And if you get different toppings, like half toppings is $3 extra, whole toppings is $6 extra. Did you have anything extra added to this?
Yeah. So we had pepperoni on the regular square pie and then buffalo mozzarella on the other.
So that's an additional $12. But again, that's not going to take you to $90.
$12 for, so if it's $34 plus $12. That puts me in the 40s. Then maybe the buffalo.
34 plus 12, so that's 46.
Okay, and then maybe the other pie was also 46, and that's how I got to $91.
No, 34 plus 6 plus 34 plus 6, right? Oh. Because it's one extra topping on one extra topping on the other. So then, 34 times 2 is 78. Future Bethany here. I'm awful at math.
And then maybe gratuity was
plus
included.
12 is 90-something. Is 90. No, it's not. Kathleen,
and then I left a GD tip on top of that.
They actually are charging $90 for two
pies.
Pizzas.
I know. I was mortified.
That's unconscionable.
Mortified.
Right? That math is right. Nope. 34 times 2.
Yeah.
8, 16, 76.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus 12.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is $88. Yep. To be fair, I'm more of an arts person, right?
Plus sales tax,
I'm doing math
plus
in
whatever.
My head.
Yeah.
Plus sales tax.
Yeah.
Kathleen, that is insane.
Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard?
That is insane. They are actually charging $90 for two pizzas. This is
you just took your glasses off to rub your eyes again.
I am. There is no. That's insane.
I'm going to leave. Not a scathing review, but like a confused review about how much this costs.
How can they possibly charge that?
I know. I mean, buffalo mozzarella, it's extra. $6 for a topping, though, is like, it was good pepperoni. It was like the small kind that curls up. You know, you don't know too much about pepperoni because you don't eat meat, but like the meat eaters out there, they know what I'm talking about. Crunchy on the end with like that little pool of oil in the middle.
I don't even see buffalo mozzarella on this, by the way, as an extra topping.
Never again. Gentle listeners, Kathleen, wherever you go, stay away from the dang buffalo mozzarella because apparently they feed buffaloes gold.
Look at this. Yeah, now I'm just on Google.
Yeah.
It says a square pizza buffalo,
$46. Jesus fucking Christ.
$46 for one.
I won't make this mistake again.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Classic.
Deep breath.
A square 34. Yeah, it's because you ordered the buffalo one. It's $46.
And I left them another freaking $5 on top of that shit. I panicked.
as you would, because you hear that dollar amount. It's like when you think you're buying a pair of pants somewhere and they ring it up and it's like you accidentally got the wrong pants off, like they someone shelved it wrong and you just bought $120 jeans. And you're like, I thought these were $10. Yeah. I'm at Target. Why are you charging $120? Like, Kylene, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned never to go to that pizza place.
Me too. Never again. Never. Never.
That is... You could have ordered dollar slice pizza. You could have ordered like 25 slices of dollar slice pizza and been fine.
Yeah.
I know. And I'm not mad at you.
Let this be our both what we learned this week. You need to step up for yourself. And when you buy two pizzas and they're like $91, don't give them your card and walk out.
That's... how dare you? Just say how dare you. How dare you? Kathleen.
Yeah.
Where can people find you on social media?
At Whip Girl Kathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also follow our show on social media.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, check out the fan group, the secret non-denominational Santa-type man gift-giving swap is going on right now, so make sure you sign up for that.
You can follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And we have a snail mail address, and that is Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 171. Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of almost every single episode. That number is 917-994-0353.
And we have a Patreon. So depending on when you're listening to this, our final spooky show for October, our Patreon live show is October 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
So tonight, most likely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
Do your thing, Bethany.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. Inflated pricing, the spookiest thing of all.
And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hello, everyone. This is Taste Bud Laura from Westchester, New York. And I was just listening to the most recent pod, and you guys were talking about the popcorn button on microwaves. And what I think is really funny is that most popcorn actually tell you not to use the popcorn button, which is super weird. So check your popcorn before you use that. Love you all. Bye.
Hello, this is your latent print examiner, Taste Bud Jen, calling in. I just finished listening to the most recent episode where, Kathleen, you were talking about all the ways to secure your home to protect yourself from burglaries and all that. And I had two maybe that I could add. One is you mentioned about garages. And if you're somebody that maybe forgets to lock their car door, but you leave your garage door opener in your car, maybe make it a habit to start bringing it inside the house the same way you do with your cell phone, just because that's really easy access to your home. And I've worked cases where people gained entry to a home from an unlocked vehicle that had one of those garage door opener remote things in it. And then another thing, Kathleen and Bethany, you were both talking about having people pretend to be contractors or workers that are coming around the neighborhood. Even if you do have actual legitimate contractors coming to your home, make sure you're, of course, doing your own research on the companies that you're hiring. Pay attention to if you're outnumbered. I worked a case a couple of years ago where the homeowner was an older woman, and she had the male contractor go up on the roof and was working on something. And his wife, for some reason, was his, I don't even know if it was his business partner or was just there with him. And so while he brought the homeowner's attention to outside on the roof, the woman went into the bedroom of the homeowner and stole all of her jewelry and money that was laying around. And then they disappeared into the night. Didn't even ask for payment for their services or anything like that. So just other things to be aware of, but not to freak everybody out too much. But I thought all of your tips were super awesome. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Taste Bud Jessica. I am so shocked that I actually rewound and listened to it again, that when discussing the faculty, you guys somehow missed Josh Hartnett is like the main character, and he is amazing. I fell in love with him during this movie. I believe it was before Pearl Harbor. Oh, he was great. He was fabulous. How do you miss the main character? He was amazing. He's like right in the middle. He was super, super, super hot. such a great, 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 great guy. Also, what happened to him since then? Maybe we can look into that. But yes, I reround and listened to it again. You missed Josh Hartnett. Oh my God, Kathleen, I would assume that you love him. I feel like he's your type of guy. I don't know, maybe. But love you, girl. Bye.
Hi, ladies. It's Sam from Ohio. I was just listening to the episode about the burglaries in your home. And we had a friend that always parked their car in the driveway, which a lot of people do if you don't have a covering or a garage. And their garage door opener, though, was in the visor of their car, like many of us have, clipped onto the car. So what the burglars were doing in her pretty well-to-do neighborhood was going into different vehicles in the area and opening the doors to the vehicles to see if anybody had left their car doors open overnight. And then they would use the garage door opener on the visor to open their garages and break in. So weirdly enough, my friend, her bedroom was over the garage. And so she actually heard the garage door opening when the burglar went into her car to open the door at like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. And she looked out the window and saw a stranger coming into her home. And the whole family like went down and, I don't know, confronted them or maybe made some noise and they ran away, but they ended up not being burgled because of that. So if you are somebody that parks their car in your driveway or on the street maybe, but you have a garage door opener or some way to access your home, I would just suggest maybe either taking it inside with you or locking the exterior doors to your house, even from the garage, or just making sure your car doors are locked. But of course, somebody could always break into the car. So anyway, I'm always checking my husband's car to make sure that he's locking his doors for that same reason. So I thought I would share that tidbit of knowledge with you. Have a great day. Stay safe.
Hi, ladies. This is Taste Bud Hannah calling. I just wanted to reach out because I'm staying at an Airbnb in the Pocono Mountains. My husband and I are taking a little vacation. Now, this building is a registered National Historic Place. It's an old schoolhouse, and part of it has been renovated to be like a, you know, a short-term space rental place. Anyway, there is a distinct possibility that it's haunted, which, like, I didn't actually consider when I selected it. And the two of you were the first people I thought of. So I wanted to reach out and just ask for, I don't know, some, like, positive energy because I'm about to go to bed. I'm actually a little nervous about it.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Sam, longtime listener, but first-time caller. I'm actually catching up on some of the episodes from earlier in the summer. I was just listening to your July 7th episode, and I had to stop and call because Bethany was talking about how she is now watching baseball with Dennis, and she was talking about what a sacrifice fly or a sack fly is. I'm actually a high school softball coach, and clearly a lot of the rules mirror baseball and softball together. But yes, Bethany is right that a sacrificial fly is your teammate up to bat swings and hit the fly ball as far as they can to get their teammate home or even just advance their teammate on the bases. Let's just say they started at first and they wanted to get them to second or third. They sacrifice their at bat and their average to advance their teammate to get home. But in addition, there's also a thing called a sacrifice bunt. Same kind of thing. A player is on first or second, and then a teammate comes up and they sacrifice their hit, and instead of a hit, they bunt the ball and they get out of first, that they have advanced their teammate to another base. So that is my experience in coaching softball. I played for almost 15-16 years, but I love the podcast. It's really gotten me through some tough times recently, and I'm going to continue to listen. Love you guys. Bye.